Muse Studio presents It's Hawkins, After All, written by Onion Chiver and read by Gray. Part 2 of the Little Bits series. This is a Stranger Things fanfiction with the pairing Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson. Rating, teen and up audiences. They only talk of it sometimes, and when they do, it's mostly gossip. Whispers that the older residents of Hawkins take seriously, those in their 30s determinably ignore, and the younger ones obsess about. That family, the weirdos. All queer, all of them. But no one is brave enough to actually say anything to any of them. People who went to school with them talk about how they used to be. They'll say, "You know Steve Harrington and Nancy Wheeler were a thing once, right? Oh yeah, he was crazy about her before, you know. You know?" No one especially likes to talk about the one who really looks like the guy accused of all those demonic cult killings nearly 2 years ago. He's rarely seen outside in the day, and when he is, he's got this sweeping gaze and eyes that are sometimes too bright, white on the inside, black on the outside. It's not right. He'll meet the gaze of anyone staring, and if they stare too long, the town elders say, he'll flash those teeth. And Steve Harrington will glance at him, smirk, and then link hands, casual as you please. No shame, no cause for concern. They're never ashamed, any of them. Because if someone dares to mutter a comment, make any kind of insinuation, that gets the attention of the one who looks way too much like the guy wanted for satanic murders. The cops do nothing. Not interested. Everyone's getting on with their lives, and the absence of horrible things makes it easier for people to ignore the town weirdos when they're out and about together. But the whispers prevail. On dark nights, when the moon is full, most people avoid the Harrington house. It's smart to avoid it anyway. Woods all around. Weird noises. People have gone missing in those woods in the past. That place is all alone. And the nearest people that could be considered neighbors all moved away within a 6-month period. No one really wanted to say why, but the town takes a wider step back after that. After what happened to Tommy Hagen, especially. No witnesses. No one saw anything. And the cops assured everyone that they took it very seriously. That they questioned Steve Harrington and this Eddie Hetfield before coming to the conclusion it had been boys being boys and that Tommy was fine, despite the scar. Tommy Hagen never spoke about it to anyone, and if he did, those who heard it didn't want to share it. He didn't press charges, doesn't visit his folks so much anymore. No one knows what happened. Just that he shouldn't have gone to the Harrington house that evening, when the moon was due to rise full. Older residents will sternly warn their kids and their grandkids to stay away from that family. "Find God while you can," they say, while drinking a double and stabbing out a cigarette, "and leave the town freaks alone." But the kids cannot. They're obsessed with finding out why. And so, every full moon, there is always someone stupid enough to creep into the woods at night. The dense forest built like a prickly moat around the house with no garden walls. And wait. The noises, so they say, start around 10 at night. The moon is bright and the stars are never quite so clear as they are then. Sometimes, kids swear they hear laughter. They hear things breaking. They hear growling. Screaming. "Sex noises," the older girls declare solemnly. But the boys disagree. They don't think those are sex noises. At least, not any kind they've ever heard. And if anyone is brave enough to stay longer than an hour or so, they always come back to the others, pale-faced, stricken, and quiet. "Nothing," they say briskly when questioned. "Let's get the fuck out of here." The very few who've whispered to friends under the guise of unreliable promises pertaining to secrecy have said they thought they saw something flying. They were sure they saw wings bigger than a fucking SUV. They thought they saw a monster. And this winged demon, or whatever the fuck, is always kissing Steve Harrington. Steve, who nobody sees for at least 3 or 4 days around the full moon, who nobody dares ask what's happening. Most people don't want to know. The town is doing well enough. No rot, no disappearances, no deaths or fires. They can tolerate that family. They tell the young kids to mind their manners when a mouthy 8-year-old asks why Eddie and Steve are holding hands. They force a brisk smile and yank the child away, hissing under their breath not to ask such things. Sometimes not quite in time to prevent Eddie Hetfield from grinning wide, crouching down and saying,
"'Cause everyone's different, kiddo."
And then he drops a wink before he rises to full height again, holding the parent's gaze longer than polite society would dictate. "Is everyone different, Mom?" the kid will ask when being strapped into the car. "Yeah, I guess so, honey." Nobody minds too much. Gossip is fun. Urban legends get snowballed into ridiculous shit like, "Steve Harrington made a deal with the devil," or, "Eddie Hetfield opened the mouth of hell to bring Steve Harrington back to life when he fell into the quarry." And smaller kids tend to look upon the family with interest more than anything else. Avoid the house, don't go wandering around on the full moon, and everything's fine. And if someone sees Steve and Eddie making out under the old cane tree near the graveyard, they'll look the other way. Because no one wants the scar Tommy Hagen has on his face. Nobody wants trouble. Not even the kids, whose curiosity burns brighter than bonfires. If they see the Byers boy kissing the Wheeler boy, no one says shit. That strange girl and the Mayfield kid, who mysteriously turned out to be related to Steve Harrington, kiss all the time, and no one dares even snicker. Because the few times it's happened, shit seemed to fly off the walls. Lights exploded. Car alarms went off. They're all queer. They're all fairly weird. But they're townies, too. Born and raised. It counts for something. And really, at the end of a long day, no one wants things to be like they were before. Deaths, destruction, rotting trees and sickly air. Splits in the concrete. The very earth. Skies tinged red. No one wants Eddie Hetfield staring too long at them. Nobody wants the Hagen scar. And nobody wants to incur the loud, articulate rage of Nancy Wheeler, whose tendency to monologue at any moment is second to none. So it's mostly gossip. Whispers. Rumors. Myth and legend. Lies with a grain of truth. But no one knows which grain. Maybe all. Maybe none. Maybe they're just arrogant kids. Maybe Eddie Hetfield really is a demon. And maybe Steve Harrington did die. Vampires, winged things, tales, sex rituals. Only the kids want to know. The elders scowl and talk about God, and the parents pretend they don't see it. Get along well enough with the Wheelers, the Sinclairs, kindly Mrs. Henderson, and kooky Joyce Byers. But when visitors come to town, when people come from somewhere else, and suggest strolling through the woods one night when the moon looks especially lovely, someone always warns against it. "Never know what's out there," they'll say, shaking their heads, declining to elaborate. The next day, they'll see Steve Harrington, with faded bruises and those marks on the side of his neck, and pretend they don't. Steve stares too long, too. He stares like he's daring someone to say something, like it's his town. And the dark-haired man behind him is always grinning, confident and easy, the smile born of someone not quite bound to this mortal coil. People nod politely. They pretend, or they warn, or they obsess. But life goes on. It's Hawkins, after all. Weirder shit has happened. Or at least, that is, until the wedding. This has been It's Hawkins, After All, written by Onion Chiver and read by Gray. I'm so sorry. My phone kept going off the entire time that I was recording. So if I can't edit out all of the little buzzes, please, please pretend you don't hear them. So this is my new project. This is one of many of the lovely little one-shots from this series that I will be tackling over the summer. And I hope that you have enjoyed this recording. And please leave a like and comment. And then go over to the original on Onion Chiver's page and leave her some lovely love as well. Thank you for listening.